Patrick, first week on the job. First of all, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, sir.
First week on this position, but you've been here for about a quarter century, so you've been around.
Yeah, I have. I have been employed for the Niagara Falls Water Board, City of Niagara Falls, for 25 years. I have had many responsibilities, many roles. I first was a laboratory technician. I moved to senior laboratory technician. Had the opportunity to move into operations. I performed that for a few years. I was able to get my grade one certification for drinking water, so I'm now grade one certified. I have performed the duty of the operating responsible charge here for the drinking water plant for a period of time. So in doing that, I have a great understanding of the plant itself. With that understanding of this plant, our wastewater plant is a physical chemical plant, so I understand that process well. As I said, I spent most of my years in this building, but I do understand the wastewater facility itself. So.
You know the facility, I mean, you know that the inner workings, and along with that, you know the challenges. I mean, the city's water infrastructure system has its challenges, including age. I mean, a lot of the pipes and things along the network are quite old.
Sure. And I mean, that's, you know, industry around the area, the entire Northeast. You know, we are trying our level best. That is part of our capital improvement plan to do some, you know, some remedial work on some of the lines. I have, you know, and I know that it's a big road to take on, but we are working. We're doing a lot of work in the wastewater plant to maximize that actual facility. And I think, you know, the plant itself is running really well at this point.
You talked about capital improvement, and in the past couple of years that there's been discussion of approaching and attacking some of the aging infrastructure, you know, the state looking to help kick in and support some of that. Where are the higher priorities in your mind that need to be addressed within the city's infrastructure?
Well, the city itself, the infrastructure, as you know, is an aging infrastructure. We have had some, and I have a fantastic group of people working for us that have sat down and looked at the infrastructure, and we are prioritizing areas that need, that need to be looked at. So we have in the capital plan the outside maintenance. Our outside maintenance, along with the city engineers, have sat down and tried to formulate a plan of the locations that would best serve us to, put towards money towards it. So.
Among the other challenges is storm runoff, which will make its way into the river, especially when you've had severe rainstorms and it gets excessive. We have seen that on a few occasions in recent years, but it's just simply at the mercy of nature. What steps are being taken, and is there a concern that, you know, nature may be the one that decides it's going to dump more, you know, crazy storms like that on us?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Mother Nature is something we cannot control. We are in the process of doing some flow monitoring and doing some research to see if we can minimize any of that. We have just put out a proposal and received that for the LaSalle area, and so we're hopefully going to get some flow monitoring results, and the research that will be going into that is going to be coming out. I guess the monitoring is happening now throughout the spring, so we can get the wet weather events, and then the it will be given to an engineering, the data will be given to an engineering firm to crunch those numbers and see what we can do about those particular wet weather events.
And of course, again, this is all at the mercy of nature. There's also the question is, how does the city pay for all this? New York State has offered us some assistance, but if you were to have a wish list of all the things you wanted to get done, how much would something like that cost?
You know, we have, you know, it would be really nice if we could reach out to federal level, to state level, and you know, find there would be some grants that might be available. I have absolutely, you know, we've had some studies done, and, you know, 96% capture is one of the studies that we had to have, that we're doing, and the numbers that, you know, we're getting back for that type of capture is very, very, very high.
If you could explain 96 capture to the layperson who doesn't understand the terms.
Yes, the DEC has a requirement of how much capture we have to make or mitigate, and it's 86%, which we are in compliance. But the DEC, during the on our consent order that we received, said, why don't we look into what we would have to do for a 96% capture? Going that extra 10% capture would cost, it would be a very, very, very high cost. You know, some of those numbers are reaching up to $1.1 billion worth of work that would have to be accomplished in and around the city of Niagara Falls. So, I mean, you know, I doubt very highly that we will be able to find grant money for that type of, but could we minimize or maximize what we're doing now? I would assume so, but we are in compliance. We are hitting the 86% that the DEC requires.
We've seen other cities where the water system has had problems with lead. In the city of Buffalo, their lead issue is with the paint, not the water. What about in Niagara Falls? Have their lead numbers been in line, kind of like Buffalo's?
Yeah, our leads, we do a lead study every 3 years. That is coming due in the next year, actually. It seems to come up very quickly. As the lab director, I have intimate knowledge of those numbers, and we have always been in compliance. You know, there's a 90 percentile that you need to pass, and so knowing those numbers, we have been in compliance with the regulations and the requirements from the Department of Health.
So that's never been an issue. It's just maybe just the aging pipes themselves.
It is. I mean, you know, we do. When we were in the old plant 20 something years ago, I was part of a study, a lead loop study, and during that study, we used a phosphate to see if it would help to coat lead pipes. And so the study was performed by one of the engineers, and I actually, as a technician in the water department at the time, was in on that study. The study proved significantly, statistically, so we went forward, and we are now adding an agent to the water to help coat the pipes. The city of Niagara Falls, or the Niagara Falls Water Authority, adds an orthophosphate to the water to help the calcium coat the pipes to keep any lead that might go into the water service.
And for someone who's hearing this who might not be an expert in chemistry, these added agents that you're putting in there, they are safe for consumption?
Yeah, absolutely. Anything we use is safe for consumption. It's purchased through a vendor that, you know, is, and that's what they do. They sell water quality chemicals.
You've been, now you were the interim executive director, interim has been lifted, and now you're the executive director. Is there a direction or a vision that might be a change in direction that you foresee?
I'm not certain if there is a change in direction. I think personally, I think communication, I have had, the support from the entire staff, from administration to the division heads, to actually the staff itself has been enormous. I think the fact that I am an employee, a longtime employee, everyone respects me here, and I want to make certain that they understand the communication, that I am here to speak with all the employees, and I'm a voice for the employees. I am a steward to the ratepayers. I believe that the ratepayers are very important, and that, you know, we need to prioritize spending and try to keep, you know, rates down to the point as low as possible. I think it's a very important balance to, you know, what we need to spend and, you know, needs and wants. And so I've been tasked to make certain that that's a priority, and I will try my best moving forward.
Tell me about the challenges of keeping the rates as low as you can while being able to meet the expenses of keeping water flow operating.
Yeah, you know, as you say, the challenges are we have an aging infrastructure that needs some replacement. You know, this water facility is 20 years old, but it, you know, it's brand new relative speaking to the wastewater plant. And you know, we do need some upgrades, and so we're hoping that with all the upgrades that we are doing with the wastewater plant, and we have received grants at the wastewater plant for a lot of the upgrades that we are in the taking on now, that we can continue to reach out and receive grant money on, you know, in the local level, state level, and even federal level. And so that would actually decrease, you know, the costs that would be burdened to the ratepayers.
I mean, the building is still relatively new, not just the pipes, but the facilities themselves. And do they need any significant capital improvements?
The drinking water plant itself isn't in need of many capital improvements. You know, as I say, it's a 20-year-old facility. You know, some of the interworkings, the pumps, and you know those things, which are some are big ticket items, will need to be replaced. You know, there's only such a lifespan or of life cycle for anything. So yeah, we have some needs. The wastewater plant itself, we are in, you know, in a transformational era because the plant itself is 40 something years old, and it is in need of a lot of work. We have accomplished many, many things over the last year and a half. You know, we have undertaken a lot of improvements to the plant. We have optimized the way the plant is running. We are still in the process. Our environmental monitor is working diligently to optimize how the plant is running. He's working with changing some of the chemicals, and hopefully that will optimize how the plant is running. They are in the process of doing some bench scale studies to perhaps change the actual way the plant runs. And if that ends up coming to, you know, showing promise, then that will be something we will be putting in front of the DEC, and with their approval, you know, we will then have to reach out. Those changes will be very costly. So it's that if we need to, or if they recommend that we do those changes, you know, that is going to be something that we're going to have to reach out for, you know, financial, you know, grants or some other.
Final question is in regards to transparency. I've also covered the Erie County Water Authority, which in the past couple of years has had issues with their public transparency. They've been criticized for that administrative skill. Tell me about how the Niagara Falls Water Authority reaches out to the public, and how the public can access and listen into how the Water Board here does its business.
Well, we have been speaking with the DEC, you know, on a day-to-day basis almost about goings on at the wastewater plant. We have great communication with the DEC. As far as the public, all of our meetings are on our website. Anything that anyone wants to see, any of the agendas, any of the meeting minutes are all on the website. If a person would like to come to a meeting, the meetings are posted, the date and times of the meetings are posted, and someone could come in and sit. They're all open to the public. If a person would like to, you know, just visit and see what's happening at the meetings, they're more than welcome. So, and you know, they could always phone call and contact anyone here, and I'd be more than happy to speak with anyone if they have any concerns or comments. I'd be more than happy, you know, open communication.